Hey, and welcome to In Christ Singapore's Sunday service today. You are more than welcome to join us. Please, if you are here, write a little in the chat so we can greet you, especially you that are new here. If you've never been to a Sunday service in Christ Singapore, please reach out to us and fill out the electronic welcome card so we can send you what we are and who we are and why we do and everything. But also type in the chat room so we can greet you here. All right, we are here online due to the COVID-19 restriction and regulations that are going on worldwide. So for the time being, we're going to continue being online. And to get more updates, we ask you to follow us on social media, for example, Facebook or Instagram. And you can also sign up for the update on WhatsApp. All right, next thing, the most important thing we do in the church is come together in prayer. And next church prayer is going to be on Tuesday, the 7th of July. Tuesday, the 7th of July, 7:30 p.m. It is going to be held on Zoom. All right. And the link will be available in the WhatsApp chat. I urge you to come because it's a joy to come together and pray. And pray down God's will here and now. All right. Next thing, Moms Connect, Resilience and Adaptability. It's going to be held the 9th of July. It's an outreach, so it's going to be on Zoom once again, 9:30 a.m., the 9th of July. And the teacher is going to be Serene Lim. She's a homeschooling mom who have 7 children. And she's going to share with Moms Connect on how she built resilience and adaptability. And please join if you're available. And this is for Moms Connect. So if you're a woman and available, 9th of July, 9:30 a.m. When you register, you're going to be able to get the credentials to log in. All right. Bible study. We are in the Bible study of Luke and Acts. And that session is going to be the 9th of July, 8 p.m. And this time, it's going to be held on Zoom. So that means that this session on Luke and Acts will be a Q&A session. And it's going to be based on all the chapters that has been covered through session 1 to session 3. So if you have any question or opinions or comments, please send them to us in InChrist Singapore. And we have ability to prepare the answers, and we can also prepare the whole session out from it. But if you also have Q&A that comes up during this spot, please share them directly. All right. Next thing is the Marketplace Ministry is holding a session together with ICCC, International Christian Chambers of Commerce. Right. And next session is going to be held the 11th of July. That's the third session. And the fourth session is going to be held the 25th of July. And both of them start at 10 a.m. in the morning. And register for it. Yes. And it's going to be, as the two previous session, it's going to be with speakers from ICCC, and they are going to talk about how to transform understanding of work, where you are a professional, you run your business, and you're going to see the opportunity and be equipped to be a blessing, to be salt in the light where you are. All right. Next thing is tithes and offerings. We cannot meet together and give you a basket to put down the offerings, but we are in 2020. So that means that we have electronic means. So pay now, or a bank transfer. And everything will be shown on the slides here. All right. Last thing for today, cell group. In Christ Singapore is a cell group church. This means that we are dividing down the church into smaller parts where we can have more intimate fellowship with each other. And in these cell groups, we meet in people's homes, And most likely we have a sharing of food, and then we talk about the Bible topic and the last sermons and so on. But also it's a great opportunity for Christian fellowship and to share your journey and to hear somebody else's journey in their walk with God and Jesus. And this is where we get the Christian fellowship is building us up, and we can be a blessing and be blessed by each other. So if you are not in a cell group yet, we strongly encourage you to sign up to be part of a cell group. So fill in the contact form and we'll get back to you shortly. All right, now we're going to go into worship, but before we go into worship, we're going to pray together. Father in heaven, we come before you. We welcome you into this Sunday service, Father. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit will come in the way, shape, and perform that you want to come, Father. We also pray, Lord, that you will bless the worship, that we can come before you. We can give you our worship and praise with an honest heart, an open heart, Father. And we can give you what you deserve, Father. And also that you will respond and be here with us wherever we are for this morning, Father. And also we pray that you will anoint the sermon today, that we will receive everything that's on your heart, Father. We don't lose anything, but we receive everything that you have in store for us for today, for this week to come. Lord, we pray that you will be with the words that goes out, and they will hit us in the heart, and they will plant there, and it will grow and yield fruit, Father. Lord, we thank you that when you are listening to our prayer, we know that you act upon them. So, Father, we're going to praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning, church. Let's worship.
Greatest day in history. Death is beaten. You have rescued me. Sick in life. Jesus is alive. Empty cross, empty grave, life eternal, you have won the day. Shout it out, Jesus is alive, is alive. Oh, happy day, you wash my sins away. Oh, happy day, I'll never be the same. Forever died and changed. When I stand in that place, free at last, meeting face to face, I am yours, Jesus, you are mine. Endless joy, perfect peace, guilty day, finally would be. Celebrate, Jesus is alive, is alive. Oh, happy day, you wash my sins away. Oh, happy day, I'll never be the same. Forever died and changed. Oh, what a glorious day, what a glorious way, as you have saved. What a glorious day, what a glorious way. Oh, what a glorious day, what a glorious way, that you have saved me. Oh, what a glorious day, what a glorious way. Oh, happy day, you wash my sins away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same. Forever died and changed. And oh, happy day, happy day. You wash my sins away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same. Forever I am changed. Hallelujah. Amen.
My God, there is who you are.
way make miracle work. God is key, light in the darkness. My God, there is who you are. You are way make miracle work. God is key, light in the darkness. My God, there is who you are. 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 Even when I deceived you were. Even when I do feel that you're working, you never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I do see that you're working, even when I do feel that you're working, you never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I do see that you're working, even when I do feel that you're working, you never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. We make a miracle work. Promise keep light in the darkness. My God, there is who you are. You are. We make a miracle work. Promise keep light in the darkness. My God, there is who you are. 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 There is who you are.
Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we just praise you and we worship you this morning. Lord, we thank you that we can come together in your name and we can approach the throne of grace and we can know that you are the God that you say that you are. And we just want to invite your presence into every home this morning, every heart, every mind. And we pray that as we go into the Word today, Lord, that you reveal the Word to us. And the Word becomes life in us and in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So welcome to In Christ Singapore this morning. And I just want to acknowledge that we are so happy that the youth are joining us, as it's the first Sunday of this month. So welcome to all of you as well. And today's preaching, I will be speaking about Come to Me and I Will Give You Rest. And I believe all of us at some point in our lives, we may find ourselves to be weary. We may find ourselves to be tired because of different things. And we can find that even at times that we find a certain hopelessness or that we find heaviness. Some people even every morning they wake up for a period of time. There can be times in their lives where they wake up in the morning and it just feels heavy. It feels heavy to start the day. It feels heavy to make decisions. It feels heavy. They can feel the heaviness of and the load of things. And we can feel disappointment. We can feel discouraged. We can feel rejection as well. And all of this coming with inside our work, being our school, or even being within our families in different manners. So I think at some point in our lives, all of us can relate to some of those feelings. And we can find that we worry or we worry about what we don't find ourselves to have control over. And someone had come up with a system of thinking like this, that every Wednesday they will have a day where they're going to worry about things. So the rest of the week, they were not going to worry about anything. But Wednesday was going to be their day where they would worry. And usually when Wednesday came, there was nothing to worry about any longer, because most of those things that had been an issue to them was no longer an issue. It kind of had resolved itself. And what we need to realize as believers is that no matter what we go through in life, we need to understand and know where our strength comes from. And Jesus is very clear about that in his teaching, that there's strength that is found in him that can be found in no one else. And he says to the disciples, he says to the people, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden." And it's kind of the key word here is "come to me." All you who are tired, all you who carry burdens, come to me. So as it says in Matthew 11:28-30, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lovely in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So there are so many things that we can take from just a text like that. But the first thing that we have to realize is that it says, "Come to me." So before we can find rest, before we can experience the rest that Jesus brings and the peace that Jesus brings, we have to come. We have to come to him. We have to seek it from him. We have to come into his presence. And there was something about Jesus that made people feel so comfortable around him. And it didn't matter if it was the outcast of society. It didn't matter if it was the prostitutes or the lepers or the people that nobody maybe wanted to really associate with. But still those people, when they came to Jesus, they would feel the security to come close to him. They would feel secure enough to come and be with him, to seek grace and to seek the love of God. So there was something about Jesus in his approach, even though the multitudes followed him, even though he was both loved and hated, loved by some and then hated by others. But somehow, even though it was his popularity, people felt like they could come to him because he carried something with him. He carried love and he carried grace with him, and his heart was something that people were attracted to. So when Jesus speaks of himself, he says that he is gentle and lovely in heart, lovely in heart. And I mean, how wonderful are not those words, and how attractive was that not to people? To see someone that is both gentle and also humble in heart, not proudful, not full of arrogance, but really humble in his way of doing things, in the way he approaches people as well. And thinking about those words of Jesus, they are so contrary to what we often meet in the world today. Because oftentimes in the world, we find that we meet rejection. We oftentimes face pride from other people, and the pride of not even being willing to accept the weakness of others. And we may find the hardness of heart, where people have hardened their hearts, so there is no way of even without truly the love of God reaching their heart. And there is so much self-centeredness and judgmentalism. But Jesus showed the opposite of all of those. He was confrontational to sin. He was confrontational to legalism, but he was always so open and loving to people. And I believe all of those things, as we look upon the New Testament, we find how that was attractive to people. You know, there was that gentleness, there was that humbleness, there was that love of God that made the outcast of society even come to him and feel like they could be accepted, feel like they could be loved. And Jesus says, "Take my yoke." So take my yoke on you. And yokes were very heavy. They were wooden crossbars used to connect two oxen or other animals together for plowing or other purposes. And I went around the ox or the animal's neck. And sometimes the burden was so big or so heavy for the animal or for the ox that it would cause them to fall under it. And I know the picture that we put on the screen is of the cows, but it's still the illustration is the same. But what Jesus is saying, that burden, they may sometimes feel like so heavy that people just want to give up. And comparing it to the animals or the ox, when carrying such a heavy yoke and such a heavy burden that sometimes they could hardly move forward, that Jesus is saying that, you know, in contrast to that, he wants to give us a yoke that is actually bearable. His yoke is light. It's not heavy. It's not something that we cannot carry. But his yoke is easy. And it was in contrast to the Pharisees. They were always burdening the people and making them heavy with religiosity, with legalism, with laws that were hardly able to fulfill in their own strength and power. And even sometimes they would do that and expect that from others, but they would give themselves a lot of grace. As it says in Matthew 23:4, "For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." So they were laying burdens on people that were very difficult and hard to bear, but they themselves would maybe not even bear them fully themselves. And what happens to people when they get that kind of a burden to bear is that burden after burden, it starts to become heavy on the shoulders. And after a while, it becomes so weary that people cannot carry on. But Jesus is saying, in contrast to that, I have given you a yoke that is easy. He has come to lift us up. He has come to lift up the burdens together with us. And his law and his regulations are something that, of course, there are things to follow. But he will never expect of anything that we do that we do it in our own strength, in our own power. So Jesus had come to give life to people. He had not come to give burdens. He had not come to give them yokes to carry, but he had come to give them even the Holy Spirit of God. So there was something about Jesus that was preparing his people as well to not be struck by legalism, but to really come into the relationship with him, the relationship with God that would change their lives forever, a relationship of death, not death, but a relationship of death with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. And in everything that they would go to, and we just see that throughout the Bible, that in everything they will go through, it doesn't mean that that there is not a cost of following Jesus. It doesn't mean that there is not challenges following Jesus, because we know that. We see that from the Bible. He challenges us all the time. There is the cost of discipleship. There is a cost of carrying our cross daily, as the Bible says as well. But what Jesus is saying, that his teaching is not heavy. Even though it may be challenging, even though it may oftentimes encourage us in different ways to change our lives and so on. But he has never expected us to do it on our own, because we have to take his yoke. We have to realize that in everything he tells us to do, it's not to bring legalism, but it's to bring the life of God into us. And when we look upon the Bible, I mean, we see example after example how Jesus meets people in this manner. And there's one example I want to take today from the Gospel of Luke chapter 5. And it's about a leper that Jesus heals and sets free. And we can read in Luke 5, chapter 5, verse 12 to 13. "And it happened when he was in a certain city that, behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus. And he fell on his face and implored him, saying, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.' Then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him. So in this passage, we find a very clear example of someone that has been overwhelmed by the yoke of different laws and of the sickness itself that he would have in his body. And this leper, being full of leprosy, as the Bible says, comes to Jesus with a question. He says, "If Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." So the leper was not questioning if Jesus was able. He had probably heard and even seen his miracles. So there was not a question in his heart if Jesus was able, but he was questioning if Jesus was willing. And Jesus answered that question once and for all in this passage. I am willing, be cleansed. And we may ask ourselves the same question when it comes to our lives today. We may ask ourselves the same question when it comes to the challenge that we face or the burdens that we feel like are weighing heavy on us at this moment of time. And we may know that God is able to help us through, but sometimes we may doubt, God, are you willing? And even though in this passage it answers the question of, yes, he is willing to heal, but it also shows us the willingness to lift up the burdens of God's people or God's creation and lead them fully into the life of God. The burdens that the enemy has set upon them, even some of the curses of the law, to lift them off and lead them into the life in God, a restoration. So the first thing we need to realize is that God's willingness is so great. God's willingness to fight for his children, God's willingness to help his children in the midst of time of needs is there for us. Maybe the answer doesn't always come the way that we expect it to come, but the moment we seek him, we need to know that he is all for us. The moment we come before him and we say, Lord, in this situation, I need your help. I need your strength. I need your wisdom. We need to know that in that moment of time, all of God's heart is all for us. He wants us to come through. He wants us to win victories. He wants us to see how he works in the midst of our lives. And in this case, what the leper needed to do is that he needed to come. If he had not come, Jesus was not able to heal him. But it was in the moment of coming to Jesus, lifting his request to him, falling at his feet, and it shows the desperation that he was in. That in that desperation, in that moment of full surrender to the Lord, he came to him. And as he came to him, his burden was lifted. As it says in Matthew, come to me and I will give you rest. But it needs to start with us coming. It needs to start with us coming to him, coming into his presence. We cannot expect our burdens to be lifted by looking at the TV or watching the news or only by watching different TV programs, you know, or by going out to eat, even though there can be a momentarily of like the fellowship and all of those things can have a momentarily relief. But the burden itself is not lifted through that. Our burdens are lifted in the presence of God. Our burdens are lifted in Christ when we come before him. So there needs to be a coming and not a distance away from him. But come to me. Make your request known to me. What is it that you want me to do in your life? What is it that I can accomplish in your life? What is it that you need help with? And that in that moment of time, not telling God how he's supposed to help us, but telling him about what are the needs in our life, what are the heaviness in our hearts, so that he can start to move and transform that. And going back to what I said at the beginning, there was something about Jesus that made people want to come to him. They didn't stay away from him. Except the Pharisees and the people that had hardened their hearts, some of the Pharisees and so on, they may have tried to stay in close, but not too close. But there were people, the outcasts, the people, the lowest in the society at the time. They came to him because Jesus was gentle and he was humble in heart. His heart was full of the love of God. So this man with the leprosy, he took a great risk of even approaching Jesus. And you know, leprosy at that time was a very feared disease. Because there was no known cure for it. And some of the forms were very highly contagious. And it was a chronic disease. It affected the skin and the nerves. And the Bible tells us here in this passage in Luke 5 that this man was full of leprosy, which means it had taken over his whole body. It was an advanced case of leprosy in this manner. And it would sometimes, it would leave white patches on the skin. It would be running sores. And it could even lead to loss of fingers and toes. So it was a very feared disease. And so this person, this leper, when he comes before God, he would have been isolated from his family. He would not have been able to go to the synagogue. He would not be able to attend religious activities. He would have been isolated either by himself or with other community of other lepers as well. And he was in so-called quarantine. And I think the word quarantine is something that is so familiar to us now. But if we think about this man, his quarantine was not just a momentarily. You know, some of us have been complaining or finding even that about two months was enough or too long even. But when we think about this man, this was not just a 2 month period of time. This was his life. For the rest of his life, he was doomed to be isolated from the community. He was doomed to be not able to attend all the different gatherings. And except if there would have been some kind of a healing in his life. So he would not have been able to be with his family, his friends, and everything that he would have loved before he catched the disease. So, and the thing about this leper as well is that he was considered unclean. And as Leviticus 13:45-46 tells us, "Now the leper on whom the sore is, the clothes shall be torn and his head bare, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, 'Unclean, unclean.' He shall be unclean all the days he has the sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." So this is what the law or what the Old Testament kind of was saying in relation to lepers. For the safety of the other people, this person, except that healing would come into their life, they were to be isolated. And not even that, they were supposed to, if for the warning of others, if they were getting in some kind of a close contact with others, they would have to shout out or call out, "Unclean, unclean." So we're thinking about, not only is this man so he's suffering not only because of the disease, but the identity that he is living under is not only of leprosy, but feeling the uncleanness and have to identify with being unclean. But there was something in this man, in the midst of that, in the midst of a hopeless situation, in the midst of, we can imagine the yoke that was upon his shoulders, the yoke that was making him feeling so heavy, the yoke of leprosy, the yoke of uncleanness, the yoke of isolation. And in that moment, as he comes before Jesus Christ and he bows his knees, what happens? What happens is that Jesus reaches out his hand and says, "I am willing, be clean." What we have to realize about this man is that this man had been probably not touched for a very long time. He had felt like he had to be away. He had felt like he had to shout unclean. But in this moment of time, when Jesus sees him, what is the heart of Jesus? He is gentle and humble in heart. That heart that comes out in that moment of time reaches out his hand and set that man free like that. Just in one moment, the man goes out from having the identity and the yoke of uncleanness, the yoke and the identity of leprosy, to suddenly being received into the kingdom of God as someone that is clean, as someone that has been set free, as someone that is healed. And what is so interesting about the words of Jesus is that he doesn't say be healed, but he says be clean. And so he's giving him anew, with those words, he's giving him a new start, a new identity. He's taking the burden that has been pulling him down, and he's lifting it up, and he's giving him a new start. He is showing him the love of God, and he is making him into his one of his followers. You know, thinking about that, just the thought that someone that has had a yoke around his neck, maybe year after year after year, but because he came to Jesus, in the blink of an eye, that was changed. Because he came to Jesus, Jesus was able to stretch out his hand and bring the healing and the will of God into this man's life. But the key thing is here, we need to come. We need to approach him. We need to come before him. And in this passage, the man's desperation of falling before the Lord shows how he is pouring out his heart before Christ, before Jesus. And the same thing you and me have to do if we are facing situations where we feel yoked by different things. Or we even feel yoked by legalism, because Jesus came to break legalism in that sense that it's about just doing and doing and doing, but there is not the transformation on the inside of us. But it needs to start with the relationship with the Lord. And it's from the relationship with the Lord and our standing of who He is that the Spirit of God is able to transform us from the inside out. So Jesus, he contradicts what the Pharisees so want to get through, that are priding themselves in outer behaviors, but the hearts are far from God. The hearts are not transformed. But Jesus is saying, that's not what I have come to do. I've not come to put a yoke after yoke after yoke upon you. I've come to set you free from the curse of the law. I've come to set you free from legalism and bring you into a relationship with God. Into a relationship with God where you can learn to know the Father, where you can learn to walk with God, where you can learn to know what it is to be in the presence of God and how God transforms you, not from the outside in, but from the inside out. So that the life that has started within you starts to grow, and as it grows, it becomes very evident that the Lord is in your life and that the Lord has done a great work within you. And as Jesus says to this leper, you are clean. Not only you are healed, but you are clean. A transformation is taking place. A new identity has come into his life. And the same thing God does with us today. He may deal with things in our life. And as I said, following Jesus doesn't mean that everything is just easy in that sense, that it doesn't mean that we don't have to, there is not a price to pay. There is not things that we have to do in order to follow him and so on and so on. I mean, there are a call that he has upon our life that will need a decision to sometimes die to ourselves and live for him. But what he is saying that in the midst of that, in the midst of the work he has set before us, in the midst of the things he has given us, he will lift it together with us. He will not leave us alone. He said, I will not leave you orphans. So he has not left us alone, but in everything that we do, we need to know that his yoke is light. It will never be so burdensome that we cannot continue to walk, but it will be light because he is the one who lifts it together with us. He is the one who leads us and guides us through the infilling of the Holy Spirit and through the help of the Holy Spirit. And the same thing when things want to come into our lives and they want to be like a yoke around our neck, one heaviness after the other, one decision after the other, one thing after the other, where we just feel like I can't no more. And if that is the sense that we have, then we just have to come to the Lord and we say, Lord, and we have to pour out our hearts before Him and to say, Lord, I lift this to You. I come to You. I give this to You. And I ask for Your wisdom. I ask for Your help. I ask that You come and You show me the way through this and You lead me and guide me and that Your kingdom shall come into the midst of this situation. And in closing, Jeremiah 31:25, for I have satiated the very soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. So we need to realize that when we come to Him, our souls are receiving strength. When we come to Him, our bodies receive healing. And even though some of those things may take time, but it needs to start with a coming. Are you coming to Jesus? Are you laying your burdens before Him? Are you asking for Him to come into your situation? Or are you just trying to struggle on your own, with your own wisdom, with your own mind, with your own way of doing things? Because Jesus says to you and me today, come. Come to Me. Come to Me, you who are weary. Come to Me, you who are tired, and I will give you rest. But it starts with the coming. And that's what I want to encourage us today. No matter what age we are, no matter if it's about school, if it's about homework, it's about tests, if it's about the working situation, if it's about family, or whatever it is, or even if it's about just heaviness of mind, in everything, come to Him. And He will give you rest. What a wonderful promise. And He is gentle and lovely in heart. He is not threatening. He is not far away. But when you come to Him, you meet the same thing that the leper met when he met Jesus. He met the love of God. He met the grace of God. He met someone that cared for him. Someone that was there for him. And that's the same thing for you. The same thing is in your life today. If you come, you will receive the love of Christ. You will receive the wisdom of God as you ask Him. Ask of Me, and I will. I mean, we need to ask. We need to ask Him. So let's not continue on just fighting by ourselves and even though we may say, well, I don't feel like I need rest. I feel good. I've been rested for the last weeks. Well, at some point in our life, if we come to a place like that, let's be mindful where our strength comes from. Let's be mindful where our rest comes from. Because in that moment of time, we need to make a decision. And the first thing we should do is to come to Him. Amen. Let us pray together. Father, we just praise You and we worship You, Lord. Father God, I just want to thank You for everyone that may be listening in right now, Lord. And Father, I just want to pray together with them in whatever situation they find themselves in. And Lord, I just want to pray that You come. And just like You say in Your word, that when we come to You, we can find rest. And Lord, I want to pray for those that feel heavy in their souls, that feel heavy in their mind, that feel heavy burdened by so many things. Maybe it's the burden of not knowing what is going to take place in relation to their job, not knowing exactly how everything is going to come into place, Lord. But Lord, I just pray together with them as we come before You. I just want to pray together with them, Lord, that You come into their situation. And as You stretch out Your hand to the leper, You stretch out Your hand to them. And in their request of asking for Your help, asking for Your wisdom, asking for Your will, Lord, You say the same things to them as You said to the leper. I am willing. I am willing. And Lord, what You are willing is that You are willing to give rest. You are willing to give restoration. You are willing to give wisdom. And You are willing to help them through whatever things they are experiencing at this moment of time, Lord. So, Father, I just pray right now, Lord, if there is anyone that is listening at this moment of time and there is just lack of peace in their life, Lord, I pray, come with Your peace. Fill their lives with Your peace so that they will just sense and know that you are with them. You walk with them. You lead them and you guide them, Lord. Hallelujah, Father. We praise you and we thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Father. I just want to take this opportunity as well. If there is anyone listening right now and you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to pray a prayer together with you. And you may feel like the leper, where you just feel burdened by different things in your life. But you sense the call of God to come to Him and to get receive that rest that you know that when you leave this earth, you are going to go to heaven. And the thing about salvation is that it just needs that one prayer to turn your life around forever. As for the leper, there was that one prayer of Jesus, one command that changed his life forever. The same with salvation. When we confess Him as our Lord and Savior, and when we confess our sins before Him, and in true humbleness and with a turning of heart, then He changes our eternal destination forever. So if that is you, I just would like to pray a prayer, and you can repeat it after me. Lord Jesus, I come before you today. I ask you to forgive all of my sins. I invite you into my life. I confess that you are Lord, and I give my life to you. I pray that you lead me and guide me. And I thank you that you died on the cross for me, and that today I have become a child of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, do reach out to us through the link that you will find in the chat or through the email as well, so that we can continue to walk with you. But otherwise, let's end today, and God bless you and have a wonderful week ahead. Amen.